Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful we can worship the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's just wonderful to just, you know, have this moment to get your mind off all the mundane things. Oh my, to look to Jesus and you know, meditate upon his power, his ability, his might. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Just to, oh yes, get a glimpse of that greater faith that we all need in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do worship you, Lord. We do praise you, God. Oh, Lord, you know all details. You know all things. And we are so blessed to be able to commit it all to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you know every burden. You know every need. Oh, God, you know every pain. Oh, God, oh, Lord, you made us, and I know you know how to fix us, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I ask that you would put faith in our hearts, Lord, faith that we can believe you and trust in thee and look to thee, Lord. Oh, Jesus, your precious saving name. We do thank you, oh, Lord, for your willingness to go to us, go for us to Calvary, Lord. Oh, God, go to that cross, Lord, that we might be purged from our sins, Lord, that we might be delivered from this world of wickedness, Lord. Oh God, from, oh God, the mundane things, oh God, they can mount up and get so big and huge. And oh God, we just thank you that you gave us a better way, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. I pray that your word would register in our hearts. I pray that your word would talk to us. I pray that you would save that unsaved person out there, Lord. Oh, God, that struggling one. I pray that you would help them, Lord. Oh, God, that one with great pain. Oh, God, that you would meet that need too, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we do look to you, Jesus. We look to you, Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that your spirit would work in our hearts, that you would do a work in each and every one, Lord. Oh, God, we know that we could do nothing without you, Lord. You are the potter, and we are the clay. And oh, God, we are the work of your hands, Lord, when we yield it to thee and let you work in us. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would do that in our lives. I pray that you would get us to that place where we need to be, Lord. Oh, God, where we can have faith and expect, oh, God, the blessings that, oh, God, you have ordained for your people. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Have your way, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, take my tongue and use me here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name by the power of the blood in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, it's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Amen. We are going to go into more prophetic utterances here tonight. It's another lesson here. We have found him. But, you know, it was interesting. I woke up today. I just, you know, it seemed like I had got a light sleep last night. And I'd sleep, I guess, but it was, you know, like I was always thinking about something or whatever. But I woke up with a verse from the song, Jesus Paid It All. And, you know, it was like the Lord was saying, yeah, the words of that verse, it says, I heard the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thy all in all. Praise the Lord. And then that beautiful chorus, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We could never thank him enough, amen, for that gift of salvation. The blessings that he gives us and the joy that he puts in our heart. Oh, praise the Lord, the knowing that all is well with our souls. Oh, praise the Lord. It is such a beautiful thing. Oh, praise the Lord. And as we study here tonight, I'm just going to, we've been going into some of the works of Jesus and how they were uttered before the time by the prophets, and sometimes so much before, many, many, many years. And as Jesus walked this earth, I know he came with a plan and with a purpose. He wasn't confused about his mission. He knew it very, very well. He knew the purpose and the plan that God had ordained, how he put it within him. And yes, he was God robed in flesh who came to walk this earth. Oh, to be among us, praise the Lord. Oh my, praise the Lord, to give us a hope beyond this world. Praise the Lord. And one thing that he did often as he communicated with his disciples is that he would foretell of his death. You know, it was bottom line of his plan and purpose, and you know, it was probably always there, you know, in the background of his mind, in the midst of everything that he did. And you know, so it would come forth, he would declare it from time to time. And you know, even though he gave very specific details, it just seems that they, even the 12 apostles, didn't get it. They just couldn't understand it. It was just beyond, you know, what they could possibly just even manage to think on. You know, it just, well, I'm sure it would have been hard for all of us, you know, be with one who was so profound, so amazing, so mighty, doing all those wonderful works and you know, oh, teaching words of life like never heard before on this earth by man. And yet, you know, to realize that, you know, it was a short ministry, you know, and you know, who'd want to think that, you know? He just would hope, you know, forever to sit under such ministry. But, you know, Jesus knew very well that, you know, he came to seek and to save those that were lost, and it would be done through his death on the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he would try to tell them. Amen. Let's just look as we begin here tonight with Matthew chapter 16 here. And I'm going to verse 21 here. By the grace of God, it tells us here, turning here to Matthew 16 and going down to verse 21. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it just came after the revelation that Peter had that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus had declared to Peter that, you know, flesh and blood had not revealed it unto him, but his Father, which was in heaven. And all of that, he'd given Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven at that point, and told him clearly that whatsoever he shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So yes, it had just been declared, and I believe what he told Peter there about binding and loosing is for the children of God today. Amen. 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 Yes, he stated it again in the 18th chapter of Matthew, by the way. Praise the Lord. But okay, it tells us in verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Yes, it was going to come by revelation, and you know, they weren't going to get it unless it was revealed to him or revealed to them as individuals. And then it tells us, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And then we see the reaction of Peter. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And you know, I suppose, you know, this was just from the heart, you know. Who wanted to, you know, hear the other scenario and, you know, to think that that indeed was going to be the case with Jesus Christ. And so Peter, you know, I'm sure from the heart, you know, just, you know, Lord, you know, put the breakers on here, you know, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But it tells us in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And oh, I don't think Peter was expecting that, you know. He's, you know, just feeling it from his heart, you know. You don't want to part with somebody you love so very much. But Jesus realized it opposed his plan. And, you know, being human, having flesh, you know, I'm sure that the thought of going to the cross, that excruciating death, was anything that he in his flesh wanted to bear. You know, as hard as it would be for any human, it was not easy for Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew, like I've already stated, full well the plan of God, the eternal plan of God, you know? And there he was to perform it. He'd come into the world to save us from our sins. And Jesus knew very well what it would take in order to do that. It would take the shed blood at Calvary, the shed blood of Jesus Christ,
Amen,
to redeem us. And oh my, he knew it, and he knew that was God's will, and you know, he did not want to be distracted. Peter in his human nature there, you know, just thinking, you know, for the best in his own mind, you know, was opposing God's will at that moment. And oh my, you know, oh my, Jesus knew full well that, you know, that was not the will of God, but that was the will of the flesh. So yes, he had to rebuke Peter for that notion. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But yes, there were many times that Jesus went forth to tell of what was in the making there. And you know, another place we can go to is Mark, the 9th chapter. And in Mark here, I'm going to go to the 30th verse here and read a few verses. Praise the Lord. And this this story follows after the amazing healing, deliverance, shall I say, of the child who had all those wicked spirits in him, that the devil was tossing to and fro, and the child was casting himself into the fire and into the waters, trying to destroy himself. But, you know, it's a very desperate situation. The man, the father, had taken his son to the disciples at the first and asked them to pray over this child. And they did not have the power within to cast out those devils. But Jesus did rebuke the foul spirit. He said unto that devil, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And it tells us that the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And it tells us that when he came into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus' answer, verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Oh, yes, amen. And then it tells us in verse 30, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise a third day. So that's pretty direct, clear English. Of course, he wasn't speaking in English, but we are translated into English. But, you know, it's very, you know, to the point. But it tells us in verse 32, but they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. Oh my, you know, sometimes you just rather not know, you know. It just is something that, you know, you just, it just seems so difficult and hard that, you know, you'd rather not know it. But oh my, they didn't understand it, despite the fact Jesus was so to the point. And then we see a similar answer here in Mark, the 10th chapter. We can turn there. Again, going down a ways to verse 32 in this case. And it tells us in verse 32, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Oh, the eternal plan of God. And oh yes, he was just directly letting them know what he was. But oh my, you know, they didn't understand. They did not get it at those moments. Well, later the words would echo back in their minds, and then they would understand. Amen. But oh yes, at those moments it was not clear to them, and they did not understand it. Let's go now to another place here in Matthew. I'd like to turn to Matthew 26 and read a good portion of this chapter here as we study, and also go through some of the places where the prophecies had been given those many years before, the reality of it. But let's go here. Matthew 26. And I am going to go down to verse 14. Praise the Lord. Verse 14, Matthew 26. And right off here it tells us, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Oh, what a traitor. You can hardly imagine somebody who walked with Jesus Christ. Oh my, now going to the chief priest, you know, covenant with them, a price to deliver Jesus to them. And so it says, and they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And you know, as we see that scripture there, we realize that that is a direct prophecy that was given in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 11, if we can go there. Amen. Zechariah 11 and going to verse 12, and it says, "And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." And then, of course, we know the end after Judas realized what had happened in that, they were actually going to crucify him. Oh my, he suddenly realized, with great despair, I'm sure, that he was without hope, that he had crucified his best friend, he was offered money for the price of betrayal. And oh my, all at once it hit him what he had done. And so goes on here, it was prophesied by Zechariah, verse 13 here in this 11th chapter. "And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter a goodly price, that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Oh my, you can imagine what horrendous regret that must have been when Judas Iscariot realized fully what he had done and how he had betrayed the Lord. But oh yes, it had been prophesied there in Zechariah. Oh my. And Jesus knew full well. He knew, yes, even that which was going to happen, those precise details. And then it tells us back here in Matthew chapter 26, now verse 16, "And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." So Judas, behind the scenes, and oh my, knowing as he sneaked over there to the chief priests and offered to deliver Jesus to them. Oh my, I don't even know how he could stand himself at that moment. But let's read on. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And I reckon they had done it the other years of Jesus' ministry. And so, yes, it was that time again. And, I just love how Jesus knew every detail. And he tells them exactly where to go, how to prepare, and all those, very detailed details. And so he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And so the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." And yes, we could get more details in the other Gospels to kind of fill in some of the blanks here, but yes, Jesus told them exactly where to go and to find this exact person and what to tell them, or him rather, and how to prepare. And so it tells us, verse 19, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." So it tells us now it is happening. "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And, obviously they didn't know. It tells us, "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And in John, it explains that the one that he gave the sop, in other words, you know, the sop would have been the bread that was dipped into the oil, and you know, then he gave it to Judas, and you know, that is also the referral here in Matthew. But oh my, again, you know, we just see how exactly Jesus knew it all. And, you know, the others don't know. And you can imagine to hear such a statement and, oh, you know, hardly believe it. You know, am I hearing right? Could this be possibly true? You know, and my, could it be I, Lord? You know, so they all began to ask him. And it tells us, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. It says, the Son of Man goeth, as is written of him, but woe unto him, that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And here's Judas, oh my, and he knew it was what he had done, and oh yes, you know, oh my, he knew all the details. How could he even have been comfortable? It says the Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. You know, you can imagine how very difficult this was to bear. You know, it's probably a little easier if we endure persecution from an enemy. But as it tells us in Psalms 41, verse 9, it says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Oh my, you know, and it's, you know, somebody who's so close, and somebody in whom you had trust, and all at once, you know, they betray you, you know? And in other words, yes, they had lifted up the heel against Jesus. In other words, they had betrayed him. And yes, we see that John, you know, also quotes that very verse there from Psalms 41:9. And, you know, it is just, again, it had been prophesied, but oh boy, nevertheless, it had to be very, very hard to bear. Amen. Oh my. You can imagine as, you know, as everything gets closer and closer, and, you know, just, yes, you know, it's quoted, Jesus quoted it there in John the 13th chapter, verse 18. He says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So there it is. And you know, all these things that were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. So then, as this continues here, it tells us in verse 26, back here in Matthew, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Obviously what he meant in so doing, as he took the bread, he blessed it, and then he brake it into pieces and gave it to those that were gathered around the table, his disciples, and told them, take, eat, this is my body. Yes, it represented his flesh, his broken body that he was going to give for their salvation. Amen. And then it tells us, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Okay, so then the fruit of the vine that was in the cup, and yes, Then, yes, he also gave thanks. And that too was passed around. It was given to each of them. And he said, drink ye all of it. In other words, they were all going to be partakers here in this Last Supper of the bread. Oh, yes. And of the fruit of the vine, the grape juice. And then it's explained in verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. So he was partaking of it for the last time until that moment when they would again partake of it in his Father's kingdom. But oh yes, as he was sharing the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, the grape juice with them, he was also showing that he was ushering in that new covenant. That new covenant that the prophets had also foretold of. Amen. And to read a little of this, let's go back to Zechariah here. Zechariah. And it's Zechariah chapter 11 again. And we're going to just read some more details here, starting with verse 7. And oh yes, it is written here, Zechariah 11 verse 7, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, and staves being two staffs or poles, sticks you could almost say here. The one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also loathed me, or abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you that dieth, let it die, and that is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And it tells us, and I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And here he's talking about his old covenant that he had made with the house of Israel. And it tells us in verse 11, and it was broken in that day. And so the poor, the flock that waited upon me, knew that it was the word of the Lord. Oh, those that had respect unto the Lord Jesus, those that waited upon him and trusted in him and knew him, oh yes, even as the Messiah. Oh yes, in that day, that old covenant was broken. And then, yes, scripture that we've already read that identifies this time period that the prophet is foretelling. It tells us, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter a goodly price, that I was prize at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And then it says, then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. So obviously those two staffs or staves represented the two houses of Israel. Bands, I would say, would probably be the 10 northern tribes and well, just a minute, did I say that right? Okay, beauty, I would think, because it was listed first and broken off first, would be the one that represented the 10 northern tribes. And then the second one to be broken off would be the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. They would be bands. And so here is foretelling that that covenant that was between the house of Israel and God would be broken off. And the last portion of this scripture, well, it's rather interesting. I will read it, and you know, we can ponder it some. It tells us, "And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that that is broken, nor feed that that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. And then woe to that idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." And this is interesting. I believe it's foretelling of the Antichrist. And I think it's very interesting that Jesus said in John 5, verse 43, that he had come in his Father's name. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. So Jesus also foretold in John, the 5th chapter, that the Jews, his own people, were rejecting him and had rejected him. And of course, they would desire him to be crucified, and they would tell Pilate, you know, that his blood be upon us and our children. Oh yes, it was that time when the old covenant would be broken by the death of Jesus Christ, by the blood that he shed on Calvary. And oh yes, another shepherd would one day rise up. And sad to say, although he is not a good shepherd by any means, he would take advantage of the people and eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. But yet, oh, he would be the one that they would embrace. So sorry and sad that condition is. Amen. Amen. But yes, it was prophesied in various places that there would be a new covenant. And one of my favorite places is in Jeremiah chapter 31. We can just read a little bit of it here. It tells us here, Jeremiah chapter 31 and going down to verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." But then he goes on, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no man, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord."
Amen.
Amen. In other words, oh yes, it's being foretold that we would have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, and he would come. He would bring forth a new covenant in his blood. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, but this covenant would not be written on stone. It would be written in our inward parts. Praise the Lord, in our hearts. Praise the Lord. And with that, oh yes, he would be our God. And we would be his people. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, and it wouldn't be restricted to one race or one people. No. The arms of the Lord would call out to all people. Oh yes, in all parts of this world, of this earth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, that 34th verse ends by saying, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Oh, praise the Lord, the eternal plan of God. Oh, yes, that one day the Savior would come forth. Oh, yes, to bring forth salvation. Oh, yes, he would take his death on the cross. Oh, yes, that sacrifice. He would be the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the atonement for sin. But oh yes, that price would cover our sins when we come to Jesus Christ in repentance, in surrendering of our will, or of our ways, of our willful rebellion against God. Praise the Lord. And we obey that command to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So yes, back here in Matthew 26, Jesus was foretelling, oh yes, of the new covenant there. He was bringing it forth. Oh yes, he broke that bread after he blessed it, and he shared it with them around the table. Yes, representing his flesh that, oh yes, was going to be broken for our sins as an atonement. Oh yes. And that blood that he was going to shed, oh yes, for many, for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the only thing that could save us, the only thing that could redeem us, that price of the Savior. Praise the Lord, the one that came into the world to seek and to save those that were lost. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, all these things that had been prophesied. Praise the Lord. And it continues here in Matthew chapter 26. "And when they had sung an hymn," oh, we're not the only one who loves hymns. Obviously, they sang hymns back in the time of Jesus. "Yes, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So now they're heading towards Gethsemane. "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." And believe it or not, that too was prophesied in Zechariah. Amen. Zechariah chapter 13. We can just go there for a moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 7, Zechariah 13, verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against that man that is my fellow." And that's interesting, that is my fellow. You know, Judas, who walked around with Jesus, you know, who was one of the 12. Oh my, oh my, and he was going to be the one that would betray him. So it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts." And then here it is, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, in all of that, he would be bringing forth his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as he offered himself on Calvary, Jesus Christ would be bringing forth his people. But oh, yes, the shepherd would be smitten and the sheep would scatter. And, oh, yes, praise the Lord. Yet there would be redemption. I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, calls his people little ones from time to time too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, so here, Matthew 26, Verse 31, Jesus was quoting, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Oh, he's telling that to them again. And yet, you know, they're not going to retain that thought, it seems, at all. But, you know, Peter got a bit of this here. He answers in verse 33. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Oh, Lord, I couldn't imagine, you know, running away from you and being offended and, you know, oh my, you know, scattering. But Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice," or three times. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And likewise also said all the disciples, oh, they all, you know, affirmed, you know, their loyalty and their willingness to die with Jesus. But Peter didn't have that kind of stamina. He didn't have that kind of strength. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And he didn't understand his own weakness at this moment. So now here they are in the place called Gethsemane. Verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," James and John in other words, "and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Oh my, you can imagine, you know, this hour was upon him at the moment, and Jesus knew that there was no way of getting out of it, you know, and even though the flesh would have preferred a way of escape. You know, he had said in John chapter 12, here he said at this point, verse 23, John 12, "Then Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Oh, yes, we put seeds into the ground, but it isn't until they go into the earth and, you know, they crack open, you know, they dissipate, so to speak, until, you know, that little embryo that's inside can burst out. But, you know, until it's put into the ground, that seed can't die. And so Jesus is comparing the need for his death, oh my, in order to do the work, to bring forth the fruit that, oh yes, is desired. He tells us, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." But oh yes, as he's there, oh yes, he's telling, "Oh, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Oh, the eternal plan of God. Oh, yeah, the flesh would have loved to have escaped this moment. But, oh, yes, oh, what shall I say? My soul is troubled. I know it's in front of me. I know I've got to bear it. I've got to do it. I've got to go forward. I can't stop now. Oh, yes, what do I say? Father, save me from this hour. But, oh, that understanding, but for this cause came I unto this hour. And then, oh, God spoke from heaven. It says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Oh, God speaking from heaven. But did the people comprehend it? All the people that heard it, it says the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Oh, they couldn't comprehend it by any means. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, he was telling them. Oh, yes. Oh, by going to that cross, by accepting that crucifixion, oh, my. Oh, yes. I'm going to bring forth salvation. Oh, yes, my spirit is going to draw my people unto myself. Oh, when I'm lifted up from the earth, oh, yes. Oh, that blood that is shed, oh, yes, oh, it's going to atone for sin. Praise the Lord, and there's going to be hope. There's going to be a way of escape. Praise the Lord, oh, yes. Oh, something beyond this world, amen. And oh, yes, there was going to be that war in heaven. Oh, the judgment of this world and the prince of the world being cast out. Oh, yes, the devil no longer being able to have access to the heavens. Praise the Lord, to the heaven. Oh, yes, where God reigneth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And praise the Lord, oh yes, Jesus knew that, oh yes, that the great price that he was paying would bring forth salvation. Praise the Lord, oh yes. So he came into Gethsemane here in Matthew 26, and he's saying, oh, there, particularly to Peter and James and John in verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, tells us, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Oh my, what a cry from the heart, you know. Oh yes, so here he was to do the will of his Father which was in heaven. Amen, oh yes. And here he is at this very difficult, low moment and needing and hoping for the support of the others. But it tells us, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And then, oh yes, these words here. Oh yes, so that, oh yes, the Lord was speaking even to myself this morning. Oh, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, yes, if we could just realize, oh, and at times we do, but oh my, such a need, you know. Oh, yes, oh, to keep our spiritual man strong. Oh, to stay in the book. Oh, yes, to have our mind set upon the words of life. Oh, yes, to have, oh, yes, the spirit of prayer upon us. Oh, yes, so that our life is a prayer unto God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that need to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Amen. Oh, yes, the first prayer, oh, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Oh, yes, how we need to give our lives over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, how we need to allow him to work his will in our lives, you know, our own nature that rises up, and oh, sometimes it fights against the will of God. Oh, my, because, yeah, maybe what he's telling us that we need to do, we don't like to hear. No, it was hard for Jesus. And that second time as he prays, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away, there's no escape, there's no way out of this. I have to go through it. Except I drink it, thy will be done. Oh, yes, he was understanding it. And it tells us in Luke, where he was sweating as of great drops of blood. Oh my, you know, this was so hard. And you know, you can just see the sweat just coming out of the pores in his face. And you know, it indicates, you know, very, you know, great travail and sorrow. And you know, I've read that, you know, if you know you're bleeding out of the pores of your face, and it indicates that you're near to death. And so it was as he travailed there in Gethsemane, as he realized that that hour was upon him, and oh yes, you know, the weakness of his own disciples, oh my, but he realized, no, my flesh doesn't want to do this, but there is no other way. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And another gospel says they were sleeping for sorrow. I mean, this was so hard to bear, this whole ordeal, you know, just so beyond what any of us could think. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Praying it again, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done, thy will be done. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand that doth betray me. Oh my, there it was. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith, I can't believe the brashness, the boldness of this man who had walked with Jesus and been his friend and a partaker. Oh, yes, there with all the miracles that Jesus had done and all of his teachings. Oh, my, and here he comes, deliberately betraying him. Oh, yes, leading all those betrayers, those that hated him, to Jesus with a kiss to indicate that he was the one. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Oh my. Oh yes. It was happening. It was happening. Oh my. You know, Peter had a moment where, you know, he just kind of gained a little bit of confidence here. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And we know that was Peter, as it tells us in the book of John, and that the servant's name was Malchus. And it tells us, then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Oh, so we see. Oh, yes, again and again. Oh, yes, that Jesus went forth to fulfill the scriptures. Every one that had been broken, it came to pass. Oh, yes, at the exact time. Oh, yes, according to the manner that it had been prophesied even. And so, yes, here it was. Jesus could have called, 12 legions of angels, and they would have come and saved him. You know, it's told me here that a Roman legion can be between 3,000 to 6,000 foot soldiers. So it would have been a massive amount of angels. Say that a legion was 3,000 soldiers, I mean, that would indicate 36,000 angels. It'd be a 6,000, that would be 72,000 angels. And angels who, you know, are mighty in strength and in might, and, you know, even one can destroy an army. But oh yes, Jesus did not go that route. Oh, he was capable. He could have done it, but he didn't do it because, there was a greater thing. Oh, yes. Oh, and there was a greater mission. There was a greater purpose. Oh, the reason why he had come to this earth, to seek and to save those that were lost, to bring redemption, to make a way of escape so that we would not have to bear the damnation of hell, the lake of fire. Oh my, but oh yes, there was no way otherwise that the scripture would be fulfilled. And it tells us in verse 55, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand on me." But then it tells us here, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And then it's told us, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Oh yes, they left him, they abandoned him. Oh, this was too scary. Oh my, they didn't want to be taken either, did they? Oh my, but oh my. There it was, that hour that Jesus had long foretold of, that the prophets had foretold of, the eternal plan of God. That moment had come to pass when they forsook him and fled. And oh yes, we know that Peter did not have the boldness that he had boasted of. He did not have the strength that he thought he had to die even for Jesus. Oh, yes, that he would stand with him regardless of what was happening all at once. Yeah, the others didn't realize it either. They had fled at this moment. And we know that Peter denied that he knew Jesus when he was questioned. He did go into the judgment hall there to see how things would advance there before Pilate and the Sanhedrin priests and all there that were in council to decide what the end would be for Jesus Christ. But he didn't have the strength. Oh my, even though he thought that he could go to death on the behalf of Jesus, it wasn't within him. You know, the only one that was out there by the cross was John. And at that time, Peter had realized that he had denied Jesus, and he went out and wept very sorrowfully. But oh yes, Jesus, in his love and mercy, forgave Peter. He forgave the others, oh yes, for their lack of ability to withstand all those pressures at that moment. Oh my. No, the Lord was in his eternal plan going to send forth a power from on high that would come forth because of his sacrifice on the cross, his willingness to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it would come forth. And oh, yes, salvation would also come forth because of it. And oh, yes. The Lord in his ability, oh yes, to love us more than we could ever comprehend, so willing to forgive, oh yes. You know, it tells us in Luke 22, you know, as you know, Jesus had been addressing the apostles and you know, talking to them and also prophesying, you know, it was it appears that this was, you know, after the fruit of the vine and the bread had been given to them, but here it is. Jesus is talking particularly to Simon Peter, verse 31 here in Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Oh yes, I know Brother Samuel has expressed that maybe the devil thought it would have been Peter who would have been the betrayer. But oh yes, you know, and Satan had a great desire to win over Simon, to take advantage of him, oh yes, and to take him and just sift him as wheat. But it tells us in verse 32, Jesus said to him, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And of course, at that moment, Peter thought he had strength, as we already read there from the other gospel here in Luke is telling us. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. But Jesus said unto him in verse 34 here in Luke 22, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Oh my, and it happened, didn't it? It happened, oh my, oh yes. Shortly after Gethsemane, shortly after Jesus was taken, oh my. But praise the Lord, there was the day when Jesus would confirm his love for Peter, amen, and oh yes. There was that day that Peter gained that boldness that he needed there on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Ghost had fallen upon the 120 that were in the upper room after Jesus had ascended. Oh, praise the Lord, we see a different Peter, don't we? Oh my, he wasn't hiding. He wasn't afraid to admit who he was. He wasn't afraid to admit that he knew Jesus there in the second chapter of Acts, was he? No, amen, he was bold, and oh, he was telling them to their face, even those that had betrayed Jesus and ordered that he would be crucified. Oh, Peter had that power from on high that Jesus offered the gift of the Holy Ghost despite, oh my, all our shortcomings and all our moments when we didn't do very well, when, you know, we thought we had a greater strength than we did and then just, you know, just fell short. But oh, praise the Lord, when the Holy Ghost fell upon Peter and the others, oh, you know, you could see their boldness. Oh, yes, amen, you know. There in the third chapter of Acts, you know, when Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin court after that man who was lame from his mother's birth was miraculously healed by the power of Jesus Christ. You know, that Sanhedrin court, they saw the boldness that was in Peter and John. And yes, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, I praise the Lord. He takes us, oh, despite our backgrounds, despite our ignorance, despite all the, you know, regretful things in our past, He takes us when we turn our lives over to Him in repentance. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Feeling that sorrow for our sins, for our past. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, then going on to acknowledge Him in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, that washing of regeneration. Praise the Lord that, oh, begins its work in our lives. Oh, yes, to bring forth salvation. Amen. Oh, yes, so that we can indeed be new creatures in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, the plan of God. Oh, yes. It's such a wonder, you know. And oh, the disciples at the first realized that they had found Him, the Messiah. Oh, yes, the one that Moses and the prophets had foretold of. Oh, yes. The Son of God, praise the Lord, is Nathanael, who's also known as Bartholomew. Oh, yes, expressed. Oh, yes, when they came to Jesus there, the first chapter of John. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Wonderful. And praise the Lord. That salvation that Jesus wrought on the cross is still available. That blood that He shed still is available. Oh, yes, it still runs. Oh, yes. Oh, to cleanse us and to purify us from our sins, from our past, from our wanderings away, from our shortcomings. Praise the Lord, that blood of Jesus Christ still suffices. Oh, yes. To save us from our sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, we can identify with Jesus in the water of baptism, the waters of baptism. Oh, yes, as we go down in the water, being represented as a burial, being buried with Christ in the waters of baptism and coming up to walk in the newness of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The eternal plan of God. All the steps that Jesus was willing to take. Oh, my, because, yes, He saw us from the cross. He saw a people that would acknowledge Him, that would come to Him, that would believe Him, that would tremble at His word. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they would come and follow Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 53, the very end, verse 10 and 11 and 12, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, praise the Lord, the gift of Calvary. Praise the Lord, the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross. Yes, Why did he do it? Yes, because he'd come to the world to fulfill the scripture, to fulfill the eternal plan of God. And yes, there on the cross, he saw his seed. He saw his people. Oh, yes, and he knew that his people would come forth. They would prolong his days. They would bring the gospel into the world and share it. Oh, yes, and oh, yes. It was the travail of his soul, and it would satisfy him. Oh, yes, because he knew, yes, there would be a people that would come forth, a people that would serve him and love him and stay true, worship him. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, be found on his right hand. Praise the Lord when that day comes forth, when Jesus Christ returns again. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a blessing. And we are privileged. We are blessed. Oh, indeed, to say we have found him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and praise you. Oh, talk to us and use us. Oh, God, give us, oh, God, that stamina, that power from an eye. Oh, God, that ability to walk with you and to hold true, Lord, regardless of any consequences. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus book to number 66 and sing Jesus, I'll Never Forget. Number 66. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, glory to God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.